or continuing on our series in 1 Corinthians. That was chapter 10. And this particular passage, particularly the first probably 13 verses or so, that's about as far as I get through it. But there's a real sense that you need to kind of understand the Old Testament, or at least that the Old Testament comes to life. And I try to fancy myself as like a relevant preacher, someone that kind of teaches or tries to preach from the scripture something that's meaningful, purposeful, useful now, kind of a life application preacher. I've often asked myself, so over the course of many years, so what Noah? So what Noah did something? So what? So what Samson did something? So what? So what Abraham years ago? So what Joshua? So what David? So what Deborah? So what the angels? What do they have in common with me? I'm certainly no king, and I'm no angel. What do they have in common with me? What does all the stuff that they did matter? What does any of the stuff that they did matter? See, the Old Testament can be just looked at as irrelevant, disconnected. That's old-fashioned. Paul brings it to light. He kind of gives us a pretty good example or a summary, if you will, of the Israelites coming out of captivity in Egypt and how God was with them and what it should mean to you and I in the modern church, what it should mean to us now. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the facts, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. Does history even matter? Does history even matter? We're celebrating 250 years of independence of America. Why? Because history matters. What about in your own physical traits? Does history matter? Does ancestors matter? Your family has a BRCA gene and has a propensity towards breast cancer. Your father and grandfather died from genetic high cholesterol and heart disease. Does history matter when it comes to your own physical body? Well, of course it does. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters. The Old Testament is history, and it matters. It has plenty to teach us. It has plenty to show us, particularly about God, his characteristics, and how he deals with people. So are you in a spiritual reality or simply only in a physical reality? Was God only leading them physically, or was he leading them spiritually? Are the decisions that you're even making today following that which is spiritual or only physical or only economic? Are the decisions that you're making even today led by the Holy Spirit of God or led by the flesh, led by your desires? What about even your own past choices that you've already made? Were they Holy Spirit-led? Or were they led by the flesh and by your desires? Were they emotional ones? Were they financial ones? Or physical ones? And even, this is amazing to me, even if you've made past choices that have been of the flesh, today you get to start anew. Even if you've made decisions in the past that were emotional based and not consideration, any consideration of the Lord, today is a new day and you get to walk with the Lord and make decisions today. See, here's your next slide. See, yesterday can be instructive. Tomorrow, it's a mystery. It's unknown. Today's the proving ground. Today, proving ground. And when tomorrow is today, it'll be a proving ground. Every today is a proving ground in the choices that you will make and whom you will follow. Here's your next one, God's favor. Paul is urging us to look back and to remember and to learn from the past. Have you ever learned anything from your past mistakes? Have you ever learned, looking back, going, man, I made a lot of emotional decisions, and I wish I had prayed to God before I made those decisions. Man, I made a lot of financial decisions, emotional decisions. I wish I had consulted God before I made those decisions. Can you learn even from someone else's mistakes? From someone else's failures? Can you learn from someone else's example? See, I've seen enough heroin addicts. I don't need to go there. I've seen enough people's lives decimated by meth. I don't need to go there. I can learn from some others' examples, from the gambler's struggle, from the alcoholic. How about something a little less drastic? How about just those people that are always negative, always dark, always bitter, always angry, always hateful? Wouldn't matter what you say, government's the problem. Wouldn't matter what you say, it's a racist issue. Wouldn't matter what you say, there's no justice in this world. I know enough. I've seen enough. I don't need to go there. I can learn from others' examples. And listen, I've learned from my parents. I learned a lot of good things from my parents. Absolutely. And I learned a lot of things not to do from my parents. Learning nonetheless. And really, this is the intent of the passage. Remember when God led you out of Egypt? Remember when God led you out of slavery? Remember Moses? Remember how he brought you along? Remember the cloud? Remember God's presence in your midst? Sometimes it's really good to look back and remember that God was there, and he's been there all along. And he says this, now these things occurred in verse 6. He says it in verse 11. These things happened in verse 11. So these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things. These things happened as examples, and they were written down as warnings to you. See, shun evil. And he's giving us fair warning. Remember them? Remember how God led them? Remember how he was with them? Do you believe that God has ever been with you at certain points in your life? We always can go, hindsight is 20/20. Sometimes I reckon I wish God was with me when I was making those decisions. And now you can say, look back and go, God was with me, even in the midst of all the bad decisions. God's presence was there. He was always there. Though it didn't feel like it at the time, maybe I didn't even seek him at the time. What does that tell you about God and his faithfulness toward you? What does that tell you about your feelings? See, I'm pretty certain that God has kept me alive at different intervals in my life. He's kept me from suicide, kept me from drug overdoses, kept me from deadly diseases and car crashes. Anybody got a testimony? When you look back and you go, I know God was there. He had to be there because I would have done been gone. The Lord protected me. Are you ready? He protected me from myself. And I'm haunted at the thought of what might have been if God was not with me, watching over me. I remember that God was there, and I got nothing but praise for him, nothing but gratitude and thankfulness. Anybody else? God was with you even when it didn't feel like it. God was with you even when it didn't seem like it. God was with you even if you couldn't see him. God was with you even if you didn't understand the circumstance in which you were in. And he is with you now. Can I get a praise God? Why is Paul trying to say, as we look back at Israel's past, what he's trying to say is that God is there. And he's always been there. He's in their midst. He guided them. He watched over them. He provided for them. He protected them. He challenged them. He disciplined them. He spoke to them. He showed himself to them. And although it looked very weird, and it seemed unconventional, this is not how I would anticipate God would work in my life. I think he needs to work in a different way. But God works in his ways, and he showed himself like they'd never seen him before, in a cloud and a fire. See, here's your next slide. See, God does things his way and in his time. And he still does. The Lord would govern them and provide for them. He would be with them at the start of the journey, and he would continue with them throughout their exodus and into the wilderness. God would grace them with his physical manifestation, his presence, even if it was just a reassurance for them. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank from the spiritual rock that had accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The presence of God was with them. The Shekinah glory, the manifestation of God, watching over them physically and spiritually. And then there's a theophany. A theophany is the manifestation of God. And then there's a Christophany. He's saying Christ is present. See, we understand a Christophany to be the seeing of Christ after his resurrection. This is a Christophany. He hasn't even been born yet. Paul's pointing out Christ was there. Jesus is God. Don't miss it. Don't skip over the fact. And don't ignore the fact. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, Jesus was with God in the beginning, and through Jesus all things were made. And without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. They were all partakers of God and his goodness, his saving grace. In baptism and in unity, they're all moving out of slavery and the bondage that kept them in into a marvelous new life, into a new promised land. Yet, if you know the story, he guided them, he graced them with his presence, and the people failed. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. An entire generation. Now, I pray you don't get scattered in the wilderness. I hope you don't get lost in the wilderness. I hope that God is pleased with you. We have to understand this. Here's your next one. People fail. People fail. No matter how much God guided them, led them, filled them, touched them, showed himself, forgave them, the people craved evil. No matter how much the preachers preach, no matter how much the prophets foretell, no matter how much the teachers teach and the singers sing, people crave the sin. People go their own way. They will not follow the ways of God. They go back to worshiping idols, graven images, pagan rituals, sexual immorality. They would ignore all that God had done for them. They know there's a God, but they ignore all that he has done. They know there's a God, but they ignore that he's there. They know there's a God, but they ignore all the experiences that they themselves would even testify, God has been with me. They know there's a God, but they ignore all the warnings. They know there's a God, but they would take him for granted. They know there's the God, but they would mock him over and over again. They would simply violate their own faith and their own beliefs. They would say one thing and do another, as if they couldn't even help themselves. Here's your next slide. Do you say one thing and do another? Like you can't even help yourself sometimes. You move right into an emotional response and anger and bitterness, and then you calm down. Paul struggles. I struggle. We're all going to struggle. Why do I not do what I want to do and then do what I don't want to do? I can't even begin to imagine, in the midst of trying to lead like Moses, the worst had to be all the murmuring amongst the people. The worst had to be the constant muttering, disapproval, never satisfied, the gossiping chatter, the stuff that takes an undertow, particularly within a fellowship, even within a congregation and within a church. It works its way through all the people, evil lurking in the corners, whispering, you know, God's not here. God doesn't care. Where is he now? Why is this taking so long? Moses is an awful leader. Did he just lead us out here to die? I don't like this God. I think I'll serve another one. I don't like this church. I think I'll just go to another one. I don't like these people. I think I'll just go serve other people at some other place. They quickly turn to idols of destruction. They turn away from God. They turn away from God's people. And they turn toward physical pleasures, their own rationale, and they sacrifice holiness. They sacrifice the righteousness before the Lord. With all the new freedoms that they've been given, remember how he led you out of slavery? Remember how he brought you out? Remember how he saved you? Remember how he poured out forgiveness on you? Remember how you were even making bad decisions and he was still with you, trying to lead you, trying to guide you, trying to be part of your life? With all of that new kind of freedom that you have received, all this mercy and all this grace and all that new direction that you now have towards the promised land, towards something so much better, all that comes with a responsibility of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. You could have wasted me way back there. Thank you that you were in my presence. Thank you that you were leading me out of all of that mess that I was creating. With all of that comes a responsibility of thankfulness and worship, obedience. But the people were ungrateful. Are you? The people were irresponsible. They got lost. They got lost in their lust. They got lost in their idolatry. They got lost in the distractions. They get lost in their own imagination of what they think their life ought to be like and turn out like. They get lost in their cell phones and they get lost in their greed. Millions came out of Egypt. Millions came out of Egypt. Two. Make it to the promised land. Remember? Remember? This serves as a warning. This serves as a reminder. God is with you. Always has been. God had led an entire disobedient generation pass, they knew there was a God. And their bodies scattered throughout the wilderness. They struggled against God's will. They struggled against his provisions and complained about it. They struggled against his plan. They did not like the way God does things. It's not fast enough. It's not clear enough. It's not good enough. They desired to be outside of God's plan and make their own plans all along the way to the promised land. They allowed wrong relationships to flourish. They complained and they grumbled and they got fearful and they frightened and they lost their spiritual way, and it led to death. They lost the power of God in their lives. They lost the presence of God in their lives. They gave up. They gave up on God. The waiting was too hard. The believing was too hard. The sacrifice was way too much. And the unknown future was too mysterious. I got to have a plan. I have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. How many in this sanctuary, walking in their new life, claiming they're on their way to the promised land, but are not willing to follow God in his ways? Are not willing to follow God in his timing? Have you lost the power of God in your own life? I ache for the lost. I ache for the unbeliever. They have no idea. They just forsake God without ever even experiencing or seeing God. But then there's those that experience God, believe God, and their faith wanders and shifts because it's too hard, because it's too offensive to somebody. My heart breaks for those that walk in their freedom. Everyone in this sanctuary is free and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of God is upon you, each and every one. I know each and every one of you that is here in this place right now. And God has poured out himself upon you. And you walk in a freedom, not just a freedom in America. You walk in a freedom of spirit. But then do you murmur? Do you grumble? Do you complain? Do you play victim? Do you question God at every turn of events in your life? My soul hurts for those that kick against God and how he works in your life. When you'll stand in the testimony and say, I know he was with me all of those times in the past. I know that he is with me. And then you walk away not knowing your future. Because of your fear, because of your uncertainty, your disbelief that God is with you, and the power that he had then, he has now, in your life now, he protects you and he provides for you. He guides you and he leads you. Do not be ignorant of your past, particularly if your past testimony is, he's been with me. Remember your past? Remember how he was with you? What makes you think he's not now? Other than your own devilish schemes. I don't want you to be ignorant of your past. If you know that he was there then, you know that he's here now. And I can promise you this. It's harsh. I can promise you by God's own example, should you choose your own way, you will find yourself wandering in the wilderness and never reaching the promised land. I would hate to find you dead in the wilderness. Choose who you will follow. Choose who you will believe in. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about you? See, here's your next slide. What we want to do is we want to walk in that power. We want to walk in the power of God. Do you need the power of God in your life? Power to overcome strongholds? Power to push through tough decisions that are in your life? The power to walk in ways that the world knows not of? Power to walk in love those that are unlovable? The power to be able to do what's right in your own life? The power to walk in patience, to walk in boldness of your convictions? I need the power of God in my life right now, right here, just to get through this sermon. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He will give you a voice when you seem to not have a voice. He provides, God sustains, and God upholds the righteous. How many in here want the power of God to manifest in their own lives? Oh, for the Shekinah glory to set upon my house. Oh, the power of God to be upon my church. Oh, for the power of God to be upon my finances. The power of God to be in the relationships that I have with people, in my place of work, my physical body. I need you, Lord, to bring healing. I need the power of God. Do you? The power of God is already at work. He's already here. The Holy Spirit of God is alive and strong and vibrant. He's with you now. And if you need some of that manifest presence of God, take a word from Joanne Bullers. Get in the Word. He will speak to you. That's a nice word that gets spoken to you. Start praying. You need some of that manifest presence of the Holy Spirit of God? Stop confessing and start repenting. You want the manifest presence of God? Get in Sunday school. Get on your knees at the altar. Get in fellowship. Get in Bible study. Soap the passage this week. Guess what I'm preaching on next week? 1 Corinthians 11. Wow. We're such a confusing church and a confusing God. How hungry are you for this Jesus? How much do you desire him? How much do you want him in your life? How much do you want him in your finances? How much do you want him in your house? How much do you want him in your relationships? How grateful are you? Stop withholding yourself. You will be slain in the wilderness, going your own way. Some of you need to stop running. Stop running from him and start running toward him. Yield yourself today, right here, right now. Move toward God, not away from him. Move toward God. In all that you don't understand, in all of your doubt, in all of your mischievous disbelief, move towards God. Because he was with you then, and he's with you now. And I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me, and I will come, and you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. All your heart. For the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. What do you possibly think you own? You don't own your next breath. You think you own tomorrow? Behold the power in the presence of God, right here, right now, every day, every moment in your life, God moves. God speaks. God challenges. God leads. Listen, here's the next slide. You keep doing what you're doing, you can keep getting what you're getting. I used to preach that from a negative side, right? Like the fool keeps doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Keep playing the victim, playing the victim, playing the victim, expecting a different result. You want more? Be more. Is your spiritual life stuck in neutral? You're either growing or you're dying. You can't stay lukewarm and think that that's okay. I've seen the presence of God and I ignore it. I know that He leads, but I'm going that way anyway. You can't stay lukewarm knowing that there's the presence of God and ignore Him. God wants you to make it to the promised land. He wants you to make it to your promised land. He's got significance and purpose for you. The uniqueness of who you are. There's no one else like you on this planet. God has seen to it. And only you can do. You and God can do only what you and God can do. That's an amazing amount of discovery that you get with the Lord. Show me, teach me, lead me, guide me. I want to serve you. I want to be yours. What do I do with my money? Where should I live? Do I marry this person? What do I do, Lord? And He guides you and He teaches you. Let's learn what we can learn. Let's live the best lives that we can possibly live by honoring Him and seeking Him and following Him and worshiping Him and learning of Him. You want to know about God? You're going to have to learn about this Jesus. You're going to have to learn about this Christophany that happened before He was ever born. Man, are you kidding me? God revealing and teaching things that are way beyond your own comprehension, showing you things in another spiritual dimension, that your life is more than what this physical body can contain. Don't you want to know that kind of stuff? Aren't you a spiritual being? Man, the Holy Spirit is hungry. Teach me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. And if you're going to want to know this God, you're going to have to know this Jesus. There's your next one, by the way. Jesus' presence. What an amazing statement by Paul. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the firm foundation. Jesus was the cornerstone. The presence of Christ then bringing life. In the presence of Christ bringing life now. Rivers of living water, may we never thirst again. Drink deep, quench your thirst today. Come and get to know this Jesus, this amazing God. Partake in communion with Him, remembering Him, and in the fellowship of a unification of the body. The rock of salvation that brings us life, the firm foundation that we can stand upon, and the corner stone of our faith. Jesus, I don't know why I wrote this, but I'm going to read it to you. Jesus sustains us when we are in need. Jesus upholds us when we get kicked over. Jesus strengthens us in our weakness. Jesus washes away our sins. Jesus lifts us up. Jesus comforts us. Jesus is an advocate for us. Jesus is the light in the midst of all the darkness that you would ever even dare to walk into. Jesus restores the power. Jesus is alive. Jesus is our blessed hope. And Jesus is whom we rely upon. It's a lesson for all of us. This is so relevant to our lives now. Today, they had received God's power and presence, and He guided them. He led them, and He never abandoned them. Watch, they abandoned Him. And their bodies are scattered in the wilderness. If today's church becomes ignorant of the past, and if today's church continues to be seduced by the darkness of this world, we are in danger of losing the power of God and the presence of God in our midst. I hope you do not find this church as a place or a fellowship that has lost the presence and the power of God. If you've ever walked into a church that seems a little bit flat, a little bit dead, a little bit too much of the world and not enough of Christ, you can bet that they're argumentative idolaters and that the Holy Spirit has gone a long time ago. Listen, the place can be filled with people, but the power of the Holy Spirit is gone. Limited by faith and belief and power, they can raise money, but they trust money more than they trust Christ. They love adulation more than they love God. They love the spotlight and the thought of fame. They're seduced by the kingdom of this world. Social issues become more important than Jesus. What you eat becomes more important than Jesus. What you wear becomes more important than Jesus. What color the sanctuary is more important than Jesus. There's nothing more important than Jesus. And if the fellowship ever loses its focus, you will lose the power of Christ. You will lose the power of God, and you will lose the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Not on my watch, not on his watch, not on these elders' watch, not in this Alliance Church. The power of God will proceed, and Christ will be the head of the church. We should pray hard that God will always keep us in the midst of his power. And pray that he leads us to our promised land. I'm going to keep serving him. How about you? Give me an amen. I'm going to keep trusting him. How about you? I'm going to keep following him. How about you? I'm going to keep remembering him. How about you? One of the best ways to remember Christ is at the communion table. Remembering all that he has done for us. The way in which he sacrificed. Gave his life as an atonement for your sins, for all those mistakes and choices in the past where you did not consider him, and he was faithful to you when you were not faithful to him. How amazing is our God! How amazing is our God! How amazing is our God! If I can have the elders come forward. We'll look and remember our communion table. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to even be at this table in remembrance of what you have done for us. I thank you, Father, for your body. I thank you for the blood that was shed. I thank you for the forgiveness that you pour out upon us. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you've just done within me. And the power of God to raise this voice up, to speak your message, to share your word. I doubted myself, but I had trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The story is familiar. He was with his disciples. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat this, for this is my body." Gentlemen, if you would. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for this body broken for us in the name of your Son. Gentlemen, if you would, you can distribute. Thank you for what you have brought me through, Lord. I give you praise and glory, Father, for watching over me, for being faithful to me when I was unfaithful to you. You are a good and gracious and loving and honorable God. Lord, love you, Lord. Body of Christ, broken for us in remembrance of Him. Let us partake together. In a similar manner, He had taken the cup, gave thanks, and He gave it to them, saying, "Take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood spilled out for the forgiveness of your sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man." Gentlemen, if you would.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Congregation, just the voices. Come on, be a living sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Faithful and a righteous God, magnificent and majestic in all your ways. Guide us, lead us, inspire us, Father. May we have the strength to endure and to always walk with you. Blood of Christ shed upon a cross for the forgiveness of your sins. We do this in remembrance of Him. Let us partake together. Indeed, you are great and mighty God. We receive receive that which you have for us today. Work within our souls. Talk to us, Lord. Give us your word. Give us your reminders. Teach us that which you desire for us to know. Bring healing into our bodies. Bring nourishment to our souls, that we would forever walk in your ways. We are grateful for you, Lord. In the name of your Son, we would pray. Amen.